I feel like Ray could survive the whole 21 days without eating. Just
it probably it might be good for him. Nice colon cleanse. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And I am going to announce a special guest we're going to have today. We're going to have two call-ins and a walk-in.
Yep.
Grand Central Station around here, dude. Dude, is it Witty or Whitey? Because if it's Whitey, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Witty.
Okay.
There's two T's.
What's up, Witty?
All right. So before we get started, we want to give a shout out. We got three new patrons this week. Quite a bit.
Yep. One is Witty. And then we have two Derek's, Derek K and Derek P. Thank you so much. I went and did the math, or Sniper went and looked. It's not that it was that much math, but it's $25. So after those two people, we're $25 away from the VR.
So that's five people at the lowest tier.
Yeah, five people, or, you know, two and a half at the $10 tier or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter. I know people don't have jobs now. There's more important things in your life than getting Emilio VR, but I'm getting a little tired of X videos. I'm just saying. I think I finished Pornhub.
Thank you to Recycled and Red Rum, too, coming in right away with the subscriptions.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Off to a good start today.
Yeah. We
haven't even got started. We're already making money here. Boom. All right. So we're going to start out with the game show here. We're going to bring in a lucky caller. They're going to get a shot at the $60 prize pool. But before that, we're going to quiz them on some other audio. So let's see who we got. Rusty, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's hey. Up, man?
Yo.
So, Rusty, like, I had only played with you, like, one or two times, I feel like, before I saw you at DLG Con. But that was because it was, like, yeah. easy. It was like a two-hour drive for you, and not even that, right?
It's like three or four. Oh, but yeah.
Either way, it's not flying across the country like some people
think. No.
Yeah. Hopefully you can make it to the next one, man.
I definitely want to. I've got a wedding like around that same time that I'm going to in Hawaii, but
A lot of weddings in September.
Yeah. Although who knows if that's going to go on, you know?
Yeah, no shit. So, well, I already got my Airbnb for it, though, so I'm going to Hawaii regardless.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. That's good. So, let's get started with the little thing.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so first we're going to play a soundtrack of a game. This is going to be a song. Let's see if you can tell us what game this is from.
I feel like Rusty's going 3 for 3. That's a deep cut, dude.
It's a tough one.
That is hard.
All right, definitely an 80s vibe there. Any idea what that might be?
I'm just thinking like 2D platformer, Castlevania, something like that.
I would think it had more of an 8-bit sound if it was a 2D platformer, though.
I mean, synth is kind of...
little bit, but it sounds polished.
Okay, I'll even give you this clue, Matt. Not that it's one of the Far Cries.
It's the best.
Blood Dragon.
Yeah, there you go.
Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon.
Dude, that was hard, man.
I'll give it to you. That was a tough.
I never played that one.
But Bobby needs to bring it up every episode.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. It's the only Far Cry that does not overstay its welcome. All the other ones, they're too long. But Blood Dragon plus Michael Biehn doing the voice of the main character, the guy from Terminator. Come on.
Who's the guy who does Game Over, man? Game Over. Who is that?
Oh,
from Alien.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. He was wasn't he in Twister?
Yeah. Anyway, he is in that Predator game that I reviewed last week.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he does a lot of the voice, and he even says, "Stay frosty." And like he says lines from other movies that he did.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Bill Paxton.
I thought it was that guy. Yeah, Bill Paxton.
Thank you. All right, there we go.
Oh, he died. Oh, maybe he didn't do that then. It sounds just like him. Wow. Somehow that developer can record from beyond the grave. You've heard it here first, folks.
All right, so this next one is going to be a sound effect. And I think you got a good shot at this one.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, God. It's from Mario, right?
Ooh, no, no.
I know what you think, too. In Mario, it's like... Ah, man, yeah. There's a time where, like, exclamation mark, I feel like he holds something
up. Yeah, it's
up.
Like that high trill.
Yeah.
No, not Mario. It is kind of like an exclamatory noise.
Anybody from...
Final Fantasy?
No. Ooh, you know, it kind of does sound like a Final Fantasy sound.
It does. It could go anywhere, really. But it is distinct as well. Anybody in chat got it in the next couple of seconds? And there.
Yeah, well...
There it is.
Metal Gear Solid.
Okay. It's when they see you or they are alerted to your presence.
Yeah, another one I missed out on, but I have seen those like clips of it that of that noise and stuff. I definitely recognized it. But...
Yeah,
I think we were talking a couple of months ago about how that's like everybody's text alert on their phones. Like a lot of people use that as
it's not that one. Yeah. It's the communicator alert. Something like that. It's from Metal Gear Solid as well.
Oh, okay.
Anyways. All right.
Well, those ones don't matter. The one that matters here is going to be the mystery sound. So let's play that for you. It is up to $60. And just to give you some hints, the two hints are human and Azeroth.
Okay. I guess... I'll start here, and you guys just tell me if it's wrong. Oh, wait, no, there's hints you're supposed to give me, right?
Oh, the hints are human and Azeroth. Oh, yeah. Now, we can also tell you, so some previous guesses were Street Fighter, Geralt dying in The Witcher, and something from World of Warcraft. Now, we're not just looking for the game. We're looking for what that actual sound is in the game, too. So you got to be a little specific.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Warcraft 3.
Boom. Okay.
Warcraft 3?
What is it?
I'm going to say the knight.
The knight? I think we can accept that. The knight dying? Do you know what they're called in the game? They aren't quite knights. They're, I don't know. I feel like we should.
Yeah, you can't take it away from them at this point.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations. There you go. You won $60. That is the footman dying in Warcraft 3.
Okay.
We're all out of money now, so we're actually going to send it to you in different copies of shitty games, $60 worth. So
it's perfect. I just sent you guys a donation so you could handle that.
Nice.
Oh, your VR thing. So.
Oh
wow! Sick. There it is, $25.
Thanks, man. And then we're going to wrap that up and send it right back to you.
That was a good investment then.
So what was I going to say? So I've seen you play. Are you on quarantine?
Yeah. I'm working from home. I still got a job and stuff, but I am quarantined.
So every time I'm at a computer, you've been playing something different the last couple of days, but you've been playing a shit ton of Path of Exile. And I'm curious about it because I was a big fan. It was one of the first games that the DLG played together. It was Smite and Path of Exile, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was on our first episode.
Yeah, and it was something new back then because it was like a free-to-play dungeon crawler or action RPG. And the perk system was insane. It was just like...
Passive tree?
Yeah, the passive tree.
Yeah.
And so now... I feel like they were pressured into announcing Path of Exile 2, and I thought it was like right around the corner, but that's a ways away. So where is Path of Exile right now, and why are you playing it?
So basically I guess I should first start off, in case anybody doesn't know, it's a dungeon crawler, like you said, it's free. But one of the key, it's been out for so long now at this point that they have so much content in this game that you could basically sit down, start playing it, and you're never going to see everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel
good at it, sure, you will, but I think the average player could kind of sit down and just expect to get more content than they need, especially for the price, right?
Do you feel pressured to spend money on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's, I mean, I've probably put, not a lot, probably 30, 40 bucks into it. There's a lot of cosmetics. I don't really give a shit about that, so I don't spend a lot of money on those.
I remember back in the day it was like bank space and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's where it's pretty key. So there's a lot of currency items in the game because one of the key tenets of this game and is that there is no gold, right? It's not like Diablo where you find gold on the ground, you pick it up and use it to buy items and craft and shit like that. In this game, every single like currency item is not even really a currency item. It's like crafting materials, right? So the dollar in the game would be a chaos orb, and that chaos orb basically it takes a rare item, like a yellow item with a bunch of stats on it, and it re-rolls all the yellow stats for you. So okay. It has a very like critical role in like crafting.
Okay. But and, it actually has value because it's useful.
Exactly. So right. So there's an intrinsic value to all of the currency other than just, you know, going to a vendor for something, and which is pretty cool because it really negates a lot of inflation that these types of games have. They also get around it by having seasons, and every time they have a season, new content comes out, there's some spin or twist on what you got to do, which is essentially the same shit as everything else, right? You're running through an area killing a bunch of demons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, the chaos orbs, was that chosen by the developers to be the currency, or that the players just ended up using them as the currency?
Well, that's what gets kind of interesting about the game, is that the developers specifically didn't want currency because they didn't really want trading, and they wanted the game to be sort of self-found items and kind of like crafting based and stuff like that. So I believe it was the community that sort of kind of decided that this was, you know, kind of your baseline currency.
Yeah, it's kind of like if we took money away today, I don't know, after a few years, maybe we'd be trading fleshlights to each other. Like, I need 17 fleshlights for that Corvette.
A fleshlight would be considered an exalt, which is like 150 chaos orbs or something. But
damn.
So there's a lot of different currencies, and you can trade them back and forth, and they do different things. And
no, the only reason I said that is because like it's so weird that a currency that you can use, like it makes sense. I like that intrinsic value.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things I always tell people about Path of Exile, and Path of Exile and Factorio always come to mind, is probably the best designed games structurally that I've ever played.
Damn.
Factorio is just a whole other thing. I'm sure you guys have played some of that, but in PoE, the currency system is very novel, and it's very interesting to work with. Whether or not you just want to, you know, because you're collecting this stuff as you go along, and if you just want to use it for trading, you can do that. If you want to use it for crafting, you can do that. And if you can spend some amount of currency on crafting, if you make something really good, you can basically triple or quadruple the value that you've put into it.
Damn, that's awesome. And so what about somebody who hates crafting like me, but I love grinding? Can I get loot that way?
Yeah, so that's where I tend to fall off on the game. I usually not every season, but about once a year, I'll hop in. I'll play for 40 hours or so, something like that.
Yeah,
40 to 60 hours, I'd say, depending on what my friends are doing. But so you can use the currency and you can trade with it. Now, as I said from the beginning, the developers never intended trading to be part of the game. So there's nothing like an auction house. All there is. Website. So there's basically a website that you can go and kind of search stuff, so that the trading, and you have to basically add the person to your party, then you go to their hideout, basically their base camp, and then you trade the stuff there. So it's very obtuse the way that you're trading it, and they've designed that into it basically because they didn't really want people to just buy all the gear that they want.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like at this point they should kind of, you know, support it a little bit. I mean, it's already part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of talk in the community about whether or not it should be supported. I think the developers probably won't anytime soon.
That's a lot more work for them, for sure.
It's not so much that. I think it just cuts against the core design philosophy of their game, from their opinion. But from my opinion, basically they designed this game that is extremely difficult at the high end. Even if you're not playing hardcore, obviously hardcore is you die, you're out. That's pain in the ass. But even if you're playing softcore, if you get to a certain level, you can't, you know, it could take you a few hours to get up to, you know, 60, 70% of getting to your next level. But if you die, you're going to lose 10% of that just instantly.
Oh, good. You know? I like that they punish you for.
Yeah. So it can be punishing. And so it gets difficult on the high end. The problem with that, in my opinion, is that a lot of the content in the game is based around having really good gear. And in order to have really good gear, you essentially have to trade for it. There's just too much shit in the game to find the stuff that you want. So you basically have to trade with people. And then they've made the trading extremely difficult. So it's, you know, it's hard to manage it sometimes.
And since it came out, there's been tons of graphical updates as well, right? Like, it definitely looks different from the early days, or...
Yeah, it's the same engine, but I believe they're changing the engine for PoE2, I think, or they're doing some massive overhauls on it.
Do you remember when that's supposed to come out?
I was under the impression it was later this year, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
And things might be changing because of all this coronavirus stuff, so...
Well, the part I really liked about PoE2 that they talked about is you could play all the content from Path of Exile 1 in the new engine, in the new graphics, and I thought that was a great idea that they had. That way all their shit doesn't go to waste, you know? And for new players, which are going to come in with the second installment, then that'll all be brand new for them. So I think that's pretty sweet. Anyway, man, thanks for calling in, and yeah, we'll be sending you $60 worth of shit of games. It'll all be repeat copies of one game. I don't know what it is, but Bobby has piles of things out there. Bad Rats. We have like, I think you just won 750,000 copies of Bad Rats.
Okay. Well, we'll have a new game for game night then.
All right, Rusty. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Later, man.
Yeah, Path of Exile. It's been a while. This is like the alternative to Diablo. Like, it's a lot of arguing back and forth between both camps, between Path of Exile and Diablo. And I think they're two very different games. Now, I haven't played this since it was originally released, but it sounds like they went a very different direction than Diablo. And, you know, you'd have to play both of them to decide which one you really like.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't pay to win at all. Like you're saying, it's more utilitarian things that you pay for, like, bank space, that hideout that he was talking about, I'm sure that's paid for. You probably have to buy your hideout, stuff like that.
Okay, let's see. Where are we at here? On the Radar. Okay, so games that have come to our attention recently. I'll start off here. First one I'm going to mention is Football Story. This was posted in our Discord here. Now, when it says Football Story, if you're American, they aren't talking about American football. We're talking about soccer.
Football.
So, life in the neighborhood awaits as a local pro team cheekily announces a match against best of the non-pro. Rad and his future friends decide to thwart their confidence while meeting all sorts of dorky situations one could ever imagine. Train, play, and live in Football Story. So, it's an RPG. It's an adventure game. It kind of looks like that boxing game. Why can't I think of it?
Punch Club.
Punch Club. It looks a little bit like Punch
Club. Better graphics.
Yeah, the graphics are, you know, they're... they're pixel art, but they're very smoothed out. Well, maybe not that one, but
they zoom in.
They're very smoothed out, and it looks like you have to train yourself. There's different things to do around the neighborhood. You discover different things, and then you compete against this team. So it looks like an interesting idea. This is coming out July 22nd, 2020. No price point on it yet, but I'd imagine it wouldn't be that expensive.
I think it's kind of funny because isn't this the story of, I don't know, 90% of the little boys in the world, like they all grow up trying to play
football. Yeah, you know, like the way out of the ghetto is learning or getting really good at a sport. Yeah, that's...
Well, especially football, it's the global sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see this having much more of a global appeal, maybe, but I'm intrigued. Like, it says RPG adventure. It does not say... It's not tagged as a sim game, though, and that's what Punch Club is. So I think it might be a little different, maybe a little heavy on the narrative, a little less on like the mechanics of the game. And then obviously not a combat system, but some sort of like mini sports games that you encounter. I'm speculating here, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, have you heard much about, I was going to skip over to Valorant. Have you heard much about it?
I was trying to get into it because everybody's been playing it. Everybody's been streaming it. And this is, of course, the new Riot game that copies Overwatch a little bit. It's like a shooter with where your characters have different abilities. I wasn't eligible to get into it. I think you have to have like followed them and linked your Twitch account to Riot and jumped through all these hoops. And I was like, you know what? That's okay. I'll play it later. But to get into the beta, I know a lot of people have had access, and a lot of people are really enjoying this game.
So it's a lot. I would say it's way more Counter-Strike than it is. I mean, who knows what percentage of what is, but the way you shoot, where you shoot, the way you position yourself, all that stuff is Counter-Strike stuff. Mm-hmm. I was watching a video about it, and he was saying that his skills from Counter-Strike transferred one-to-one. That's how much of Counter-Strike
I realized
is.
I was thinking of the wrong game. I was thinking of that Melee game, the one that's only Melee.
Oh, yeah, Bleeding Edge.
Bleeding Edge.
Yeah. I couldn't. So I downloaded it, and I can't get that game to play. I don't know what's wrong.
No, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the one that looks a lot like Counter-Strike, or plays a lot like Counter-Strike, but it's got more of a cartoonish look to it.
Yeah, and it has hero abilities like Overwatch, so you weren't too far off. But he said, the video I was watching, he was saying that the special abilities don't interrupt what makes Counter-Strike good. And he was having a great time with it, and a lot of people are enjoying it. So I think it's time for a new Counter-Strike. Like,
I feel like we've tried that before with Rainbow Six Siege, though.
And that's true.
I'm definitely not the authority on this, but I feel like Rainbow Six Siege is better. I'm sure there's 1,000 reasons people are losing their minds out there and could tell me why Counter-Strike is better. But from my standpoint, it looks like Rainbow Six Siege is a better game. It looks better.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather play that one. So I don't know. I feel like Counter-Strike is just ingrained. It's like got such a strong foothold in gaming that you can't topple it. But who knows, man? This has got a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah.
It's the number one game being streamed right now. Like, there's a lot of buzz about it.
Now, Bobby, is this game out, or is this the beta you couldn't get in?
Yeah, this is like an open beta.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I would definitely check this out. This looks fucking awesome. No details on price or I don't know, huh?
Well, you know what surprises me most about this is the first time we've seen Riot. They've talked about making other games, but this is the first time they've actually started making games. I mean, Valorant, and there's several more coming down the pike as well that we haven't quite seen yet, or we've seen very little about. But the fact that this is such a big success right away, it's like, dude, maybe... Because Riot has always done League of Legends, and we're like, they're great at that, but, you know, that's all they do. And now it's like, oh, no, we are capable of so much more. We're actually really good game designers that can work in a variety of genres. So that's kind of exciting to me.
And to do them all at once. Well, they're working on, what was it, 6 games they announced at the same time? I'm sure they're at different levels, but this one might have been the premier one that they were working on.
Yeah, they're being very careful. They've said they're being very careful about how they roll things out because they're very aware of how the way you roll something out can kill a game.
Absolutely.
They recently, in an interview, mentioned that like a couple of weeks ago. So they're very smart people over there. I'm very impressed.
And not just that, but I feel like games don't make you much. Most games don't make you money for years and years anymore. There's just so much shit that comes out, you know. Maybe they're going to the next game is going they're going to wait till this game starts to fade or whatever. Who knows how it all works or what their plan is. Yeah. Plan of attack.
All right. One other game I wanted to mention is called Sound Self. Someone posted this in Discord, and I actually saw this game in a documentary. I can't remember which one. It was one of the handful of video game documentaries about indie gaming that I watched. And it was a kind of an odd young guy, maybe in his 20s, who was developing this. And he kind of lived in kind of a weird hippie commune type situation with other people. So the guy's a little bit of a new age hippie here, and he was developing this game called Sound Self, which isn't really a game, but it's a virtual reality game that you just make noises with your mouth, and you see that reflected in what you see. So it's supposed to be kind of an experience, like a spiritual experience almost, is what he described it.
Or drug-like, psychedelic drug-like.
Yeah, you know, like drugs or like meditative. I mean, the whole thing with meditation is you're supposed to achieve those highs that other people normally would with drugs a lot easier. But yeah, so he was talking about this, and he was describing how he would take this game to trade shows and try to show it off, but people were very self-conscious. Like, here, put this virtual reality headset on and go like, like in front of a bunch of people. Nobody wants to do that. So he was really having difficulty pitching this game. That was the last I heard about it when I saw it on that documentary a year or two ago. But apparently it is coming out spring 2020.
Scroll down, Bobby. One of the reasons I put down, there's some reviews by Kotaku. Go down.
Or further down, no price point.
You went too far. Right, a little bit above the black square. There we go. So it says, Kotaku says, it's hard to describe the intensity of the experience. Absolutely sublime. Vice said, the game induced a beautiful, seamless trance that made me forget it, that I was in virtual reality. The other way to try, I can't see because of the, can you read it?
Oh, yeah. The game induced a beautiful and seamless trance that made me forget I was in virtual reality. The only other way to try and describe Sound Self is by comparing it to a synthetic experience.
Synesthetic. Yeah, synesthetic.
Where sight, sound, and other sensations blur into one.
Yeah, there's people that do that. Do you know about that? There's called synesthesis or something like that. Synesthesis. Anyway, something's wrong with their brain or right with their brain, and they interpret one sense as another. Mm-hmm. So numbers might be colors and colors might be whatever, sounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how their brain works, man. It's crazy. But anyway, so to be able to have that ability for a little while in virtual reality is fucking sounds amazing.
Yeah. Be a weird game to stream.
Yeah.
Sound Self, a technodelic.
I wonder if you have a super shitty voice, like a really squeaky, like annoying voice. It just shows you terrible things.
Well, you're not supposed to just talk into it. You're supposed to chant or hum. Any screenshot of this game just looks like milk drop.
Yeah, it all looks crappy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's great.
All right. What do we got up next here? Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yeah, so I don't know what the hell this thing is. I watched the video. I read the description. It's hard to say. Seems like you're driving a motorcycle really fast, but it seems more of like a psychedelic, like punky, I don't know, some sort of anime hyper thing. I you got to look at it. There's a lot of like pinks and blues and pastels, and geez, how do you explain it, Bobby? Help me out here. The only reason I talked about it is because the reviews are overwhelmingly positive with 2,500 reviews. So that's the only reason I touched it. It's almost like a music video. There you go. It's like a music video that you're playing through, and it's just super trippy.
Is it a rhythm game?
It didn't say that in the description.
So it says, Sayonara Wild Hearts is a dreamy arcade game about riding motorcycles, skateboarding, dance battling, shooting lasers, wielding swords, and breaking hearts at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, so I don't know what else to say about this game. Check it out. If you play it, let me know what you think about it, because it's at the very least intriguing and very pretty. Yeah. Looks like they're going for something new here.
$12.99,
so totally accessible. And what else is in this? What is it? Annapurna Interactive Collection.
Annapurna. Yeah. Now Annapurna is, so they're like a publisher, but they make a lot of movies as well.
Oh, okay.
These are actually the guys, I think, Telling Lies. Sam Barlow, he published his game through them.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is, Telling Lies. Yeah, and Donut County. That game was cool. What Remains of Edith Finch. But yeah, it's one of those companies that kind of dabbles in both movies and video games.
Ooh. So they want $120 for like a bunch of games, and they're only giving you a 10% discount. I'm going to need a little better.
That's pretty much what those bundle deals are.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
Almost always, yeah. They aren't that huge of a discount.
Mm.
But this looks interesting. And at $12.99, I mean, that's not much to throw down to take a chance on a game.
Is it much of a chance at a 98%? What are the chances you're the 2%, Bobby?
I don't know. I'm sure it's an enjoyable game. I wonder how long it is, though. It seems like a format like this
wouldn't
be enjoyable for too long.
Well, I can't imagine it's
probably
very
needs
long.
An epilepsy warning, too.
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty intense. Yeah, cool.
Cool. Two trippy games in the radar. That's good.
All right. Last one we got is Crab Champions. Claw your way across exotic tropical islands, combining fluid movement with fast-paced combat to become a crab champion in survival racing and duel modes.
So did I put Crab Champion inside of this link? Is that what happened? Because it's not on the list. I don't know how you got to it.
No, I brought it up. It was in Discord.
Yeah, it was in Discord. I checked it out. So it's a shooting game. It has three modes.
Is it a meme, though? I mean, is this...
I don't think so, man, because... The movement and the graphics are actually really, for a meme, is too much work. I think they were actually trying to make a good game.
You'd be surprised how far people go for memes.
Yeah, maybe. This wasn't one person, though. No way. So it has three modes. There's survival, which it seems like it's a wave survival game. There's racing, which is kind of like, it looked like a kart game with jumping in it. You're a crab this whole time. I don't know if... You needed to hear that. You're like on this deserted island. And the last one is, it says duel. I don't know if that's one-on-one or if it's like a bunch of people. But I think the graphics are pretty good for something, for a shooter that's crab-based. I don't know, man. I'm not going to play it, I don't think.
August 2020 is when it comes out. No price point.
But it doesn't look terrible. Like, if somebody gave it to me, I would definitely play it for free. Yeah, that's my review. I would play it for free.
Would play for free.
Yeah, look, he has a laser, man.
All right, I remain skeptical here. Okay, so let's get into some games that we have been playing here. I continue to play lots and lots of Deep Rock Galactic and Divinity, multiple playthroughs on Divinity. Sniper and I have been playing on one playthrough, and we recently ran into one of the more interesting battles versus the troll. I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah.
That really one difficult battle with the troll who has a ton of health. He heals a lot, and you have to get very creative. And, that's what I enjoy so much about that game is just those battles like that. But on my single player playthrough, I think I should have put it at a harder difficulty. Like, it's getting too easy now.
You can't change it?
I don't think you can change it when you've already started.
I feel like you can, but I might be wrong. Have you looked into it?
No, I will look into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can. But what I was going to say, how did you guys take out the troll that was different from like when we played it or whatever? Do you remember?
An assortment of stuns, dodge potions, freezing, fire. Yeah.
Not one strategy. You just threw the kitchen sink at it.
Well, you had to do lots of different things at different times.
Yeah.
Because if he was not on fire at any time, he had this ability called Troll Blood where he just healed back 2/3 of his health.
Yeah.
Just with the acid. Immediately.
Yeah. And his blood is acid too, right? On top of that. Isn't it?
He heals from poison.
So, oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But the game kind of puts you in a weird spot because there's two trolls. One is a jerk and wants to charge you $5,000 across his bridge, and he wants to pay you to kill the other troll. The other troll is nice, only charges you 3 gold to cross its bridge, and you want to kill the evil troll, but he's the harder one to kill. So I never, I always try to do that as difficult as it is.
Did you get it done?
Yeah, we did it. Took forever, but we did it. But yeah, that game continues to be a lot of fun. It reminded me of, I have all these memories of the first Divinity when you and I played. Remember that battle in the snow that took us forever because we kept falling? I think it took us 45 minutes.
At least.
Yeah, maybe over an hour.
Yeah.
It was long. But we didn't have spikes on our shoes. We didn't know about that yet, so we kept slipping and falling. We chipped away at his health, but he didn't do much damage, and he kept running away from us. There was a better way to go about it, but yeah.
Yeah. At least he didn't heal.
Yeah. So yeah, Divinity continues to be a fantastic game, but that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about another game, Soul Seraph. So this week, it'll be coming out soon, but this week I got a chance to talk to Carlos from Ace Team, which I was really excited to do. I've been playing these guys' games for so long, and this, even before we started making a big push towards doing interviews, I always wanted to talk to Ace Team because they felt like the home team, like kind of the underdogs. As they're an indie game developer, they've got some good games out there. You've probably played Rock of Ages. They made those games, Xenoclash, which I really enjoyed, Deadly Tower of Monsters, which you should definitely check out. They had such a wide variety of games. They were kind of like clay, where they just always make a different type of game each time. So I was super excited to talk about them. And I realized Soul Seraph was the one game out of all their games that I have not played yet. And it was tough going into this because the reviews are not good for this game. So I wanted to check it out, see it for myself. And I have to agree, like the game is a little unpolished. And I was really feeling weird about going into the interview with this. Like, I don't want to bring that up, but fortunately he brought it up and he just flat out said, like, you know, that was a game that we just weren't happy with by the end, with the end product. We needed more time. Yeah.
It's good that he came forward with it, you know?
Yeah. That he said it, but yeah. So he said they didn't really have enough time to complete the game. Also, I think this was done for Sega, and he mentioned, you know, just working on games that aren't your original ideas and inspirations are really tough. So it kind of felt like one that they had just been contracted to do, through Sega. And if you look at the game right away, you notice it's pretty much ActRaiser. It's got a combination of strategy and action or combat. The strategy is just like a tower defense game. I have not played ActRaiser, so I can't really compare the two very well. But I don't think ActRaiser was straight up tower defense like it was in this one. I think there might have been something different to it. Am I wrong on that?
Man, dude, I was literally 12.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
I want to say it was a little more city building, but it could have been tower defense.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what this is. You have enemies coming from either side, and you build cities there. And then the action part is just like a side-scroller beat-em-up, 2D side-scroller beat-em-up. The problem with the game, though, is it really plateaus. You reach a point and it's just kind of more of the same. So it lacks that depth, which I think really could have, you know, like you said, had they had more time, they really could have polished that up and it could have been a great game, but, unfortunately it's not, but that's okay. This is not, I don't hold it against them. They've got so many great other games as well as two new ones coming out this year.
Oh, nice. Did he talk about them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then another Rock of Ages. This is all in the interview.
Would that be three or four?
It's going to be three.
Okay.
Yeah. This time, map building. So you can build your own courses and stuff. There's a lot of tools in there to do that. And then a really cool one that looks like it's going back to this weird, bizarre, surreal world that Xenoclash took place in. It's called, the Eternal Cylinder, but it's not like Xenoclash where it's just, like a melee combat action game. This is more of an adventure survival. He describes it very well in the interview, though, so I'll leave it to that.
But cool, man.
I'm excited about that. So Soul Seraph, I'm afraid you can skip this one, though, but definitely play Deadly Towers and Monsters. Definitely play Xenoclash. Like, Xenoclash may not be your cup of tea. That's kind of a specific... it's an older game now. It came out in 2009, but I don't know. I thought that game was just so bizarre and weird. And it was really cool to hear him talk about where the inspiration for that came from. And also Rock of Ages. If you've never played a Rock of Ages game, oh my God, they're so good.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
And so the aesthetic is so original and the game is original too.
Mm-hmm.
So weird to find like unique games. Bobby, yeah, I listened to your Clay Entertainment one. It was too bad. It was 24 minutes, dude, including the intro. So it was like 23 minutes, you know, super short, but you guys got to everything.
Yeah. You know, that was really cool because again, Clay Entertainment is one of those. These are my favorite types of developers. They aren't AAA. They're a small group of people and they work on a variety of things rather than just work on one game and, or one genre even. They choose to make different types of games. And every game they make, there's a really good hook. Like there's something about the game that's really fun and satisfying. Yeah. And like they kind of build the game around that. And
you did kind of fanboy out a little bit during the interview because you were like, remember when you guys made that game? That was awesome, right? And they're like, remember when you made this game? That was fucking awesome, that's, right?
That always happens with these guys. I'm always Chris Farley in that SNL talking to the Paul McCartney.
Hey, yeah. Sniper, before I forget, put on our list Devolver Digital. I know I've asked you before. I don't know if you've reached out to them. I would like to talk to them.
And it's tough when you reach out to developers like that. Or even something like Devolver Digital. It's like they've made publisher. So much that it's like, it's very hard for them to find one person that can speak about all of it.
Yeah, like who is the guy? Well, he's been there forever, right? He's been there 12 years, so he could speak on a lot of things. But
yeah, he was the best person to talk to. And of course, Ace Team is comprised of three brothers. That's where the letters come from, A-C-E, Andres, Carlos, and Edmundo.
Emilio.
No. Oh,
damn it.
But I'm spoiling the interview, man. It's all in there. It was a long one, too. Like, we almost talked for an hour. He talked a lot, and it was so cool, man. He was not, you know, sometimes when I speak to people, I get a lot of canned answers, a lot of, like, a lot of, like, formulaic responses. But he was just very open and honest and just talked very freely. So it was cool.
And he gave us 100 copies of Soul Seraph, which we're going to be sending right over to...
I should have asked for free copies or something. No,
we're going to send them right over to Rusty Bagels.
Yeah. But yeah, if you missed those interviews, man, they're back on the podcast feed. You got to check those ones out. They're great. And we got a few more coming up here. So yeah, that's what I played. I guess I'll talk about the one other thing that I did this week, other than Deep Rock and Divinity. Stadia is now free.
Yeah, for 2 months, right?
So
is it two months from the point you sign
everything's
up?
Everything's so confusing. Okay. I wish, and it's Google too. I expect Google to make things simple. Stadia is free. The pro version is $10 a month, but you get 2 months free right now. You cannot sign up for Stadia, even the free version, unless you get the 2 months free of the pro version. So you do have to do the whole thing where you put in your payment or your credit card info.
But you don't pay.
You don't pay. You got to make sure you cancel it before 2 months. Otherwise, they're going to start charging you. But
by the way, you probably know this pro tip. You cancel immediately after signing up.
Yeah. And then they will.
You still have the 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll cancel it whenever the terms.
Because if you forget, like I did with fucking UFC Fight Pass, which is $100 for the year. And I totally forgot about it. And they fucking reamed me, dude. And the worst part about it is they don't have a TV app. Right. So you have to stream it from your phone to the TV. And the other thing is since then they've moved to ESPN, and a lot of that shit's on ESPN for free anyway. Anyway,
$100 down the drain.
Yeah.
You know what I do sometimes is I put something in my calendar
because
I use my Google Calendar all the time. So I live by that thing. So if it's in my calendar, then I'll definitely get to it.
God, I love when people send you invites through Gmail and it just automatically updates to your calendar.
Right,
it's fucking sick.
Perfect.
Well, you probably do it all the time through work.
But yeah, so Stadia, I signed up for the pro version of that for 2 months. And really, they've only got 9 free games right now. There's some good ones on there. There's Destiny 2. There's
that's free on Steam.
Yeah, there's Grid. There's, I don't know, and there's a lot of like little ones. A SteamWorld Dig, some ones that aren't really that great.
Okay.
But really, I was just testing out the service to see how it handled. I tested it both on my laptop while I was at my girlfriend's house on Wi-Fi. I tested it at home on my gigabit Ethernet connection. And it works pretty well, and I'm really impressed by just the ease of use. Like, the games just load instantly. In a browser at full screens, you're in the game, a little headset notification pops up, boom, you're in. Once you're in the games, it's like a modified version of these games. You go into the options, you go into the graphics options, and all the things like resolution, anti-aliasing, all those things we're used to as PC gamers, gone, just cut out.
Right.
There's other things in there. There's other things under the graphics and display options. Oh, Serious Sam, the whole HD thing, Serious Sam 3, all the DLC, that's all on there as well. But yeah, it's weird to go into the menus and just see like large chunks of the graphics options completely cut out, because I guess they control that on their end. So that was kind of weird, but I didn't notice any latency when I was on my laptop on Wi-Fi. I noticed a little bit. Of course, you know, she's got something streaming on TV. We've got like 5-10 devices connected doing whatever on there. There's a lot. She doesn't have gigabit, so you know the network's a little more crowded. But there's a little bit of like stuttering here and there, and it didn't seem to depend on which game I was playing either. It wasn't even like, okay, I'm on Destiny 2 and I'm getting more lag than if I were on like Spitlings or something.
Right.
But it was.
Did you just make up a game?
No. Spitlings is an actual game that was that was on there. It was, it's kind of like a weird puzzle game. Wasn't that great.
Okay.
But,
so you have the pro version.
Yeah. And so under the pro version, you get the free games. Once you stop using the pro version, you lose access to those free games.
Okay.
So the normal version doesn't give you anything except the ability to buy games on their platform.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. Also,
which isn't too...
No, it's fine. You're not losing anything. It's free. And it's kind of cool that like...
It keeps you from buying a console, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Or a PC.
Yeah, or a PC.
That's pretty fucking great.
It's great for people like that. I don't even know, man. Like that 5% of people who don't own a console or a gaming PC,
right,
but somehow want to get into PC gaming.
What about the next one though? Like what if your shit just broke down? You're out of money. Boom.
See, I don't think it works like that anymore. I think people are entrenched in their camps. If you have an Xbox, you've got all your stuff tied up in the Microsoft Xbox world. If you got a PlayStation, same thing. It's like owning an Android or an Apple. It's like a third manufacturer of a phone's going to come out and like everyone's going to switch to that. Probably not. Like people have kind of already decided what side they're on.
Or you could be Ray and just stick your dick in everything.
Yeah, maybe.
Xbox, PlayStation,
PC. I don't know. The problem remains that Stadia does not have a market. This is a platform for nobody. Like, nobody has a need for this.
I disagree, man. I disagree. Well, although I don't think it's going to be a runaway hit. And
well, it's not. I think that's been all but confirmed.
But in the future, moving forward, people are really going to look at, why would I buy a... Why would I spend $3,000 on a computer when I can get something very similar as long as I have an internet connection?
Yeah.
Do you know how many games you could buy for $3,000?
It depends on what type of game you're going to play. I would not trust this. Even when I loaded up Destiny 2 at home on my Ethernet connection, gigabit, the graphics weren't great. Like they were definitely toned down.
Oh.
It looked a little hazy almost. It was kind of weird. And I could tell when the network was struggling a little bit, like when they were struggling and they're instead of like stuttering or lag, it just lowered the graphics quality. Kind of like when you watch YouTube or Netflix and then your connection weakens and it just starts to get all pixelated and blurry for a little bit. That's kind of what happened while I was playing it. I mean, overall, I'm still very impressed. Like this is a proof of concept. Like it totally works and it could open up the door for a lot of things in the future. But like right now, I just don't really see anybody using it. If you travel a lot, I don't know, maybe this would be great. It is kind of weird to be playing a game, like some really high-powered game like that, and not feel your laptop heat up, you know, and to see that on your screen. You can get this on your phone, too. You could play Red Dead Redemption on your phone.
Crazy.
I don't know why you'd want to.
I don't know how the controls work.
Yeah, you have to... There's something in the options that pops up where you can connect a controller to it. I don't know if they have on-screen controls for the game, or I'm sorry, for the phone. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea, but $10 a month, I couldn't imagine paying that much.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It's not for us, not right now. Anyway, it'll be the DLG streaming service podcast.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Warconius makes an interesting point here. I'm surprised they haven't tried to push big free-to-play games like Fortnite or League of Legends. That's a good idea. I mean...
Makes more sense, right?
Imagine, because kids like start with Roblox, then they move up to Minecraft, and then I feel like they get into League of Legends. It's like the hierarchy for like the developing youth. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you could catch those kids, everyone wants to play League of Legends. Maybe they don't have a gaming computer. League of Legends runs on just about anything too, which is very impressive for that game. But if you could get that to work on Stadia and you just open it up in a browser, that would be insane. Of course, the latency is an issue, though. If there were any latency issues, like any competitive game like that would really suffer.
I'm still confused on how your controller works on your TV. How does it physically connect to your TV?
I don't know. I didn't use a controller.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know they come with a controller. Maybe it's kind of like, what do you call it? What is the Chromecast?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, they must put some sort of receiver in there. Yeah. You know, what is cool is I like their screenshot functionality, though. You press F12 to take a screenshot. You press and hold F12 to capture the last 30 seconds of video
of
your game. Yeah. I thought that was a really cool feature.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Stadia, I mean, it's worth checking out. You know, try it out for 2 months, see if you like it.
Well, Konya says the controller connects by Wi-Fi. So that's good to know. Okay. I wonder if you can do other things like control your TV with it then. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a big question mark, folks. You're not going to get your answer from us. What I have been playing this week has been They Are Billions. I have put in 10, 12 hours this week. When it came out originally, I played a couple of hours. I knew that I liked it. And I just fell away from it, then come back to it. I was like, it was always in the back of my mind. I was just like, oh, yeah, this is the right move right now. So I checked it out. It is a completely different game from when I played it, and that's what you want to see from a game like this, or in most games. You want them to just continuously make incremental improvements. There was no story. Now there's a story. Not just that. Holy shit, is this game good. I really enjoy this game. It's an RTS against AI only. There's no versus. And the way that they make this fair for the AI is because in all other games almost that I've played, you can pause, or I mean, you can stop and go back to your last quick save and just not put that building there, and everything's okay because you go back in time and you fix everything. Mm-hmm. They Are Billions does not allow you to do this. It's saving constantly. Mm-hmm. Even once I closed the program, I closed the game so that it wouldn't save my failure. And I came back, and I came back right to those motherfuckers eating my house. And it sucked. This game expects perfection from you, basically. Because you only have one shot at things. If you fail a mission, you get a mark against you on that mission. Whenever you do pass that mission, each mark against you takes 10% of the rewards you would have got. So it's punishing you for being bad from the beginning, which only makes things worse down the line, which makes you want to start from the very beginning again, but I didn't. So I took my marks, and I'm just moving on through. I don't know how much it's going to affect me down the line, but it really does. There's three game modes, which are completely different, and it's pretty awesome, actually, because it keeps it fresh. The story is the entire world is fucking zombies. That's why it's called They Are Billions. You have one city, and you're the first colony moving out, or you're the current colony trying to expand the one city. So that's what's going on story-wise. So, you know, the very first thing is to, like, get a foothold, and your people have tents and all that stuff. And then you move up to cottages, and, you know, you're searching the world for all technology to put into your technology as well. So you're looking for artifacts and shit like that too. So the story is, the voice acting is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. The story is not that bad. Now the three game modes. So one is the standard RTS, build up your base, expand outward a little bit, take out, because the zombies have their towns, right? So you have to kill their towns. It's not a town that produces zombies, and it's just like sending you waves like an AI would, mm-hmm. or like an opponent would. It's more like you just have to get enough resources and big enough army to go kill them. Second one is kind of like it's the same game, but it's just more zoomed in. You're taking control of one hero character. And that hero character is going through a warehouse or like an abandoned jail or something like that. And they're actually picking up information and artifacts for your overall strategy. So that's it right there. So
are these all within the same game?
Yeah.
Or do you have to actually switch modes, like at a menu screen? You're like, I want to play this version of the game.
No. It's more like you have a campaign, right?
Okay.
And you're trying to get this foothold in the world. And by doing that, you're going into a map, and there's different options you can go. It could be like your standard mission, or in the way of your standard mission might be one of these, and you have to do this. Mm-hmm. Again, if your guy dies, you take a mark, you get 10% of the total rewards taken away. So, the stress level on these things, because you have to be perfect. If one zombie... So, I was on my third time playing this one map. I'm talking about an hour each time, dude. This is 3 hours, right? I'm on my third hour playing this game. I got it, dude. It's over. I'm killing the last of their zombies. The numbers that I need, my gold or whatever, is almost to where it is. Everything's ready. It's good. One zombie broke through one little corner of, like, this obscure part of my town, got to a tent. As soon as they attacked the tent become four more zombies pop out of it because the people that live there. Mm-hmm. And then it just spreads like a virus, and then I was dead within 20 seconds. My entire empire was gone, dude. It's crazy.
Can you beat this game? Because I seem to remember when it first came out and everyone was playing it, it's like you just go as long as you can.
Yeah, it's just survival mode. That's why. You just keep going and going and going. No, this totally has a story and you work your way through it.
Oh, but so it is different now. There's an end to the game.
Yeah, well, you can still play survival if you want, but you could play the campaign. Within the campaign mode, there's these three different ways. The third one is... So you only have an outpost, kind of like a watchtower, and your resources from the rest of what you've been doing that you've acquired, can afford you X amount of troops, and you just survive one onslaught of zombies. I failed 3-4 times at one. And so I had to go look it up what it was. And apparently I hadn't got enough empire points. So I went back and completed other levels that I hadn't completed, and that upped my empire points, which gave me more resources to spend on troops for that level. Hmm. And the empire points come from like those single character levels where you're just running around picking things up. But like I really needed to get 100% on those. So like I traded super hard. It is fucking tense, man. I just don't have the time for a game like this. I love it. I mean, I want to play it all the time. I was playing up until like 2 minutes before Bobby came over. It's great. But
I remember it being very popular when it came out. And it was
now it's better.
It was kind of being compared a little bit. Well, I was making the comparison between this and Conan Unconquered.
Which yeah, it's very similar.
I've actually been thinking about going back to, but I really wish I had someone to play co-op with. Does They Are Billions have co-op?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's straight single player.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. You should try it, though, man.
It looks really cool. I want to check this out.
I can't recommend it enough.
It's $30, though.
Yeah. You can play it off my account.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I will. This looks cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. What is the last thing? Oh, all this being said, there is a caveat. I am the worst RPTS player of all time. Like, I'm playing on easy, and then within that, you can select... There's every time you go into a mission, you can pick what level you want to play that mission on. And I go, overall, I'm easy. And then on that, I'm easy too. But they fuck you even on that. The resources that I get are halved because I'm playing on easy. Mm-hmm. So whatever. I don't know if overall it's going to be easy or maybe I'm just getting my toes wet. I just wish I had the time to play fucking a game like this, like full time, you know?
Yeah, it seems like a big time sink.
Yeah. Fun. Also, Door Kickers Action Squad, which don't get it confused with Door Kickers, which is kind of like a Rainbow Six Siege.
No, it's a top-down.
A top-down one, yeah.
Strategy game.
Yep. So this is completely different. This is like a 2D action game. It reminds you a lot of... what is that game, Bobby, that 8-bit side-scroller? Broforce. But it actually has a lot more strategy than Broforce. Broforce is just kind of like chaos and action, explosions, and you know, it's an 80s action movie. This is more Rainbow Six-ish, really. It doesn't look like it from when you look at it, but there's skill trees, there's co-op. it's all about like timing, the way you breach doors. I mean, it's called door kickers, right? So me and JP Diddy were playing a little bit of this. It was $4.20. So we were doing things like I'd smash the window. He'd throw the flashbang. I would jump in with my shotgun. I would take out the close guys. He would jump in after me, and he would take out the guys that I couldn't reach with my shotgun. So there's and we would talk about it beforehand on the hard rooms. Like most of the time, you're just clearing rooms. But then when it gets hard, you know, you got to think about it. You got to talk about it a little bit. So it was fun. I wasn't blown away by it, but it's good. And yeah, it's a little bit cheeky. Like I went to the graphic settings and I was like, oh, I'll turn VSync on. And then it gave me like 10 more things that I wanted, like anti-aliasing level and all of this. And I had to go, it forces you to go through all these things. And then at the end, it says none of these things do anything. And then it goes, da-dun-tsh. It does a top hat, kind of like fucking with you. There's a zombie mode. There's the normal mode. And I want to say there's some sort of survival mode, but we only played two of those. It did crash on us twice while we were co-oping. And the second time it was 2 a.m. and we're like, okay, let's call it here. So maybe I'll play it later. Maybe I won't. But if any of that sounded cool to you, check it out. Okay. Now, very last thing. I don't know how we're going to do this, Bobby. So Mila, which is Sam's daughter, has been running out of video games to play because we really don't have that much on Switch. She has Yoshi. She has Luigi's Mansion. But I was like, oh, let me see if I have anything on my Switch that you can play. Because Zelda, I think, is too much. She's 7, right? So I forgot that I had Mario Odyssey, and I was like, oh, this is perfect for you. Let's boot it up. And then I started thinking to myself, I was like, an open world might be a little too much for a 7-year-old. You know, like, how are they going to know where to go? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I brought it up to Sam, and she's like, yeah, that game's too hard. I don't know where to go. And while I was making the new game, there's something called assist mode. And in assist mode, there's little arrows on the floor that just show you where to go, pretty much. So mechanically, that's pretty much all you have to do. Now, you're not going to get any secrets. You're not going to get all the stars. You're not going to get all the hearts or the moons or any of that unless you go off the beaten path. But you'll never be lost because the assist mode's on. You know what I mean? So I thought I'd bring her in here and she could tell you what she thought about it. So we'll do that now, but you want to do like a Gorilla Mind commercial or whatever you want to talk about, dude? Your feelings?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Why don't we have, we've got one of our audio clips from one of our listeners on why they support us. We could play that.
Oh, I want to hear
that. Okay, we'll save that then.
Let me set this up.
Okay. Sure that mic is working there.
Test.
Yeah, it sounds good. I did check it too, so we're good. All right. So, yeah, guys, we are still sponsored by GorillaMind. If you want to check that out, the links will be in the show notes there. You can also go to our website. GorillaMind is a cognitive enhancement. Works great at the gym, but you can also use it for gaming. I recommend the smooth kind. They've got the Rush, which is a little too intense for me. Like, I take one of those, and it's a bit much. Hey, Mila. Come on in. I got the bunny ears. It is Easter. Why don't you sit right there? I keep forgetting it's Easter. This is a very weird holiday.
Go ahead, Bobby. Keep going.
So, yeah, Gorilla Mind, if you purchase one of those, we get a cut of that, a pretty sizable cut, too. So it's a great way for you to get something but also support us as well. So, yeah, check the link below or go to dlgaming.net, click on sponsors. What game were you talking about? Was it Zelda or was it Mario?
Mario Odyssey.
Mario Odyssey. Let me bring that up.
Yeah.
Mario.
So, Mila.
What?
You're playing Mario Odyssey for the first time this week.
Yes.
And what did you think of it?
I think it's very awesome.
Yeah? Why is it awesome?
Because you have a partner and you're trying to help Princess Peach from the bad guy.
Right. Your partner being the hat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a ghost with a hat, but he transformed to the hat that he liked.
Right. And then what can you do with the hat?
He can do very many, many, many things with it.
Okay. Like?
Like, you can change it to things and you can use it to...
You can transform into different things, right?
Yes. And you can use it to pull things.
Pull and pick up things.
And be things.
Yeah. So you throw your hat at a bad guy and you become that bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're that bad guy, you get his powers?
Yes, but sometimes that doesn't work.
Oh.
Sometimes you just kill it.
Oh, sometimes you gotta kill him. You can't turn into him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, what about the controls? Is it weird having two controls?
No, it's not very weird because I have two hands.
Oh, right. So it's almost like they knew you had two hands, right? And then how do you throw the hat?
You can throw the hat by a button or by shaking the controller.
Which kind of feels like you're throwing it in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. That's cool. What's your favorite part?
My favorite part is throwing the hat so I can be a villain or I can kill them.
Oh, yeah. Throwing the hat's the best part for sure.
Yes.
Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't know.
Okay, cool. What's it like... coming into garage when I'm playing video games?
It feels pretty fun because we don't play a lot of times.
What do we play together if we do play something together?
Rayman?
Yeah, and how's Rayman?
Great.
Yeah, you like it a lot? Okay, good. Thanks for shaking your head. Okay, cool. Say bye to everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, Mila. That was a very good review.
Yeah, nailed it. All right. I see Mario's got a sombrero.
Yeah, you can switch his costumes and stuff. Anyway, man, it's crazy because I was thinking about, like, if you're a hardcore gamer or whatever, mm-hmm. You can try to do the 100%, which is really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you can, if you're a little tiny kid, you can put it on assist mode. It's fun for everybody.
Yeah, man, Nintendo, that's the only thing I feel like I'm missing out on by being a PC gamer is Nintendo.
Yeah, that's all we miss out on. Orconia says, finally someone giving an informative review.
Yep. Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, this was good.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of news here, and by a little bit, I mean one story. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, Discord's background noise support, or I don't know, it's blocked out.
So I don't like the title of this article. This is an article on PC gaming, and it says Discord's background noise suppression beta totally slaps. I did a little bit of research, and apparently that's some sort of British slang for, like you said about songs, like it's rocking or it's kicking or it slaps. Yeah, so... what they're talking about is this new thing called crisp.ai. There's a new feature in Discord where you can enable this. It's disabled by default, but you can enable it, and it's supposed to drown out background noise. And according to this article, it's very effective. So it really cuts down on things like keyboard clicks, mouse clicks, things that are very common when you're gaming with your friends. I know a lot of people out there have, my scenario, I've got a really good mic, but I've got horrible acoustics in my place because I don't have carpet and it's all concrete and windows. So you hear every click, if I'm doing something in my kitchen, like it just carries right over. It's just.
When you go to get a burrito, whatever it is you do, dude, like everything, it's like.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, you said you live in a sound studio. Well, in a sound studio would have no reverb, right? Anyway, this is great. It's amazing that nobody's done this beforehand.
I didn't get a chance to test it yet because I just saw this, but they've got a screenshot here of what it looks like. So you can go into... it must be on the newest version of Discord, which we don't have installed on this computer right now. Otherwise, I'd bring it up right now. But it is in beta, and it looks like something that they're working on, so I think it's worth testing out.
Does it bleed out like drugged up spouses and disgruntled mothers because you've been playing too long.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Dude, I've been playing with some people, man, and their life is just chaos, dude. And it's just like they're normal, you know? Mm-hmm. Just people yelling. Yeah. I know I have the dogs barking over here, but it's just a dog. I can't have a conversation with him.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's pretty wild sometimes what you hear in the background of these things. And sometimes people do not have... I was playing Deep Rock Galactic this week, and as the game's loading up, one of the guys gets on the mic and says, "Can you hear me?" And it is ear-bleedingly loud, ooh, like just totally, totally clipping. The audio is just like, you know, bottoming within the out. Within the game, but on his mic as he's talking, the quality is just absolutely terrible and nobody responds. So he says it again. And finally, like, I had to drag over my mic because I wasn't planning on using it, but I'm like, I got to tell this guy, I'm like, "Look, dude, your mic's working, but it sounds absolutely terrible. Could you please not talk anymore? Because it's like seriously piercing my eardrums right now. Like, it is.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was okay.
Kind of a big deal has tried joining our voice chat 50 times, I'd say. And I feel like there's been 50 different things wrong. Like, sometimes you can't hear them, and sometimes some people have bad audio setups.
Yeah. That's always the fun part, too, trying to talk people through fixing their audio setup. But yeah, that's the only bit of news we got there. So check that out on Discord. Enable that background audio filter.
Kurt the Ape says, "Real men use push to talk," which is what she uses. But I feel like the whatever button she uses to push to talk is like a big easy button or something. It's like,
chikung. Yeah, you hear it every time.
Yeah, every
click,
time.
Click, click. And then she talks.
Yeah.
So every time when you hear her talk, you hear that. But I don't think she has that enabled. Well, because she streams a lot of times she doesn't, you know, she wants to talk to her stream and not to the people on Discord. So yeah, there's situations where you need to use.
But why is it on a wall lever? It sounds like it's
chikung. Yeah, like she's throwing a switch.
Yeah, throwing
like
a switch.
Like, she's going to resurrect Frankenstein.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But push to talk, like in game, I think that's great. On Discord, I don't know. For me on Discord, if I join a Discord channel, I kind of just expect that to be open. I do have, in the biz, they call it a cough button. So I have a push to mute button.
Right, the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So whenever I'm going to cough or sneeze or, like, I don't know, if there's any bit of audio that I don't want heard, I have it set to control and alt. So I just hold those down, I hear a bleep bleep, and then nobody can hear my mic is muted.
Right.
So I think that's, like, super important to have.
Which we don't have here.
Yeah, well,
anytime Chi gets racist or homophobic, it'd be nice.
Yeah, but can it fix nose breathing?
Probably, I would imagine.
I don't know about that, man. Yeah, there's some respirators out there. But yeah, like, I don't know. Discord, I don't use push to talk, but I really hate it. And Google Stadia did this. They automatically enable... Well, at least in Destiny 2, they automatically enable voice chat, not push to talk. Like, boom, everybody can hear you. Like,
yeah.
I think that's a little sketchy.
I've been in there a few times, man. Those kind of games where you just go in. And then a lot of times you're thrown in and you're already on Discord and now you have double voice going on.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah. Or people get in there and they don't know that that's the case. Not even just you, but like other people. And they're like arguing with their girlfriend or just talking about whatever, like having full on conversations and you're kind of into it. And you're like, "Oh, let's see where this goes." You know? This is
better than Dallas.
Yeah. All right. So
there should be a huge disclaimer, like your first time, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you're automatically logged in if you'd like to log out.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's like common sense. Yeah. Like, hey, hot mic champ, look out.
Yeah.
All right.
Hot mic champ. I like that.
That is from the fourth and best season of, Eastbound and Down.
Oh. Where is he, in Mexico?
No, that was the second season, and that's the worst season.
Oh, sorry. Jesus Christ, man.
It didn't have to do with Mexico.
Hey, can we get a racist button? Where's the racist button?
Oh, God. But, God,
have you seen Principles?
I watched the first season.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of similarities there.
Well, yeah, it's Danny McBride.
Yeah. Even the comedy, well, I guess it's the same guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's all like in the same tone. Mm-hmm. I think they only did two seasons. It wasn't nearly as good as Eastbound and Down, though. It's hard to beat that, man.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get into listener questions, we're going to play an audio clip from JP Diddy. This is what you get at the $10 patron tier. You can make your own audio clip explaining why you listen to DLG. So let's
drop in some knowledge.
Let's hear what JP Diddy's got to say.
JP Diddy here, and I just want to tell you guys why I'm in love with the DLG podcast and I support the show. Oh, excuse me. I'm just enjoying some of this amazing Insidious sauce. Is it hot sauce? Is it salsa? No, not really, but what is it? Freaking amazing. And the best part is, I got 10% off by going to the DLG website and entering DLG.
Look at this guy. It's like I'm making a but robot that, for awesomeness.
I love the show because it's filled with awesome and amazing people, and it's an awesome time. Check it out.
All right. Does that count as our Insidious ad?
I guess so. Thanks, man.
Good time. Good time. Great mic quality. Could really feel the crunch.
Yeah. Feel like I was there.
Yeah. Inside his mouth.
Yeah, I've been there before. The LG Con after dark.
All right. Okay, so if you're a $10 tier patron and you have not done yours, then you can do that. Use vocaroo.com. It's all on Discord, folks. We got a whole channel for the patrons there that explains everything. All right, listener questions. First one comes from Cricket Soldier. If the DLG crew, past casters included, were video game characters for an RPG, who would you pick for your 4-person roster and why?
So let's see. I would be the tank for sure. I have a high pain tolerance. Shit doesn't bother me. So I feel like Chad would be like some sort of strategist. Bobby could be the tech guy, like the engineer or whatever. And Chi could be like the wilding or
the what?
Or like barbarian. Just like fucking rage quit. Not doesn't rage quit. Oh, yeah. She'd go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Minnie could be like a little rat, weasel, like backstabber guy.
Okay, but you can only pick 4, and I feel like you're blending genres here.
No, it's because there's always a rat, weasel, backstabbing guy. Mm-hmm. Sure, whatever, man. I had an answer.
I actually did this last summer when I played. God, what was that
XCOM?
Game? I can't remember anything today. Nothing. Yeah. Not Bill Paxton, not this game.
You're not on your gorilla mind, probably, dude.
No, I haven't taken that in forever. No, the game that I play, Legend of Grimrock 2. So you create a 4. It's a grid-based RPG game. Yeah, great game. But I created a team that was the current 4 casters that we had at the time, Ray, Chi, Emilio, and I. And I was a wizard. Emilio and Ray were the frontline tanks. They were very similar, except Emilio was a bull guy and Ray was an insect. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And she was a rat rogue.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I get it to the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all works. I feel like she was offended. I don't remember.
She was, but I think she got over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she forgot 2 seconds later.
I should have done that with my recent playthrough of Divinity. When I started my single player campaign and I was like doing the math, trying to figure out what the stats are going to be on each person. What are their racial benefits? You know, right. If I make this guy a dragon, is he going to be better as a warrior or whatever? And I didn't take much time. What took the most amount of time is settling on the names. Like I was looking up like, what are good D&D names for a rogue. I really wanted to call my rogue Rouge, though, but I felt like I was really trying to commit to the seriousness of it, so I felt like that would have...
So would it be fair to say you're role-playing this time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm doing, awesome. Like, the whole story. I'm getting into it, into the story side.
This is just a fantasy of mine, but would you be into playing a D&D game?
Yeah, but I feel weird doing that stuff online.
You have to, dude. First of all, coronavirus. Second of all, the tools are awesome, man. Like,
okay,
yeah, who's gonna buy all those figurines?
If I had like, I'd want to do it like when everybody had the time, you know, and people didn't,
which is now,
jump out.
This is never gonna happen again. Mm-hmm. I was almost thinking there's gotta be like pro DMs out there that do it for money, right? Like really good DMs.
Yeah, maybe, but I also feel like you kind of need a relationship with the DM, too.
So they know your
personalities. Yeah, if they know you, then they can probably cater or give you a better experience than you would have with just a stranger.
Because I've been listening to Critical Role, that podcast, and man, that DM, dude, I've heard him do 20 different voices. He does sound effects. He like really draws people in. They're all voice actors.
He's got a full Foley studio.
And not just that, but he really knows all of the, you know, his rules and all that stuff.
There's some really good ones out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question from Hoosier89. Please answer one of the two questions. One, what are the macro microeconomic impacts of the responses to the coronavirus pandemic, both globally and domestically? Or two, best game to play with a significant other during mandatory quarantine?
Jeez. I'll answer both. What do you got, Bobby? Oh, you were just playing one with your girl.
Stardew Valley. Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with that is it's not local co-op, which I discovered last week. Yeah. And that totally kills it. So, I mean, if you have, you don't need a big rig to play Stardew Valley, but if you have a laptop or Switch does do local co-op kind of in a different way. So, but you have to buy two copies of the game.
That's, I don't think so, dude. I think they're split screen.
No.
No?
100% isn't.
On Switch?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked in the console and they told me you can play two players.
But I don't know. According to my research, you need to buy two copies of the games and you need to have two different Switches.
Huh. Yeah. Like I told you before, my friends dealing with the coronavirus are asking me video game questions. And so this guy was like, hey, man, my little girl wants to play video games. We're going nuts. Should I buy an Xbox or a PlayStation? I was like, no, dude. She's four. You're going to get a Switch. He's like, what is that? I was like, so I explained it to him. He went out and bought one. He paid $600 for it, dude.
They're like super expensive right now.
They're super expensive, dude.
It's just sold out.
Yep. But yeah, he's really enjoying it from what he told me. Oh, and by the way, he's like, what should I get for myself? I really like ninjas. I was like, dude, Mark and the Ninja. That's really good.
Oh, yeah. Clay Entertainment. Yeah, Clay Entertainment. Solid game.
So I really like Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. You could maybe even throw the kids in there. It's a 4-player game. And it scales accordingly. And I feel like, I almost feel like, you know, yelling at the kids to do this or do that might be fun.
Maybe.
It has a little bit of Overcooked in it where, like,
yeah, it gets a little chaotic.
Yeah, it gets chaotic. But that's a great game, and it's kind of like a deep cut. Like, not a lot of people know about that game, and it is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Stardew Valley.
Yeah. The great thing, and I said this last week about Stardew Valley, you can't lose that game. You can't mess it up.
Now, as far as, the economic impacts of the response to the coronavirus, I think a few things, I've been actually talking about this. I think a few things are going to change, as far as the way business is done. I feel like a lot of business, they're not having meetings now, right? They're meeting through whatever.
Zoom.
Yeah, or and whatever else they can do for a conference call. So they're doing that, right? And then they're also working from home. So this is the greatest experience of work from home experiment in human history. So companies are really going to see the advantages and disadvantages of having people come in and also having like face to face meetings. Like, are those a time waster? Are they not? Are they worth the time that we pay these people to come in and talk about these things? So I think a lot of things in business are going to change after this. As far as macro, I don't know, man. Who knows what's going to happen? It's not going to be too bad, though, I don't think.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see what the long-term effects of these are. We won't know until we get there, whenever that is. let's see. Warconius has a question here. This is kind of a long one. So he says, fuck, marry, kill, and then he gives us some options. But there are five groups of options. So I'll tell you what. You pick one, and I'll pick one.
Yeah, I like the first one. Because it's the hardest one. So it's basically Elder Scrolls, which is Skyrim, Divinity, and Witcher. Well, I guess it's the whole group of them.
Yeah, okay.
I'd marry Divinity. I'd fuck the Witcher. No, the other way around. I had fucked the Witcher, marry Divinity, or marry the Witcher, fuck Divinity, and kill Elder Scrolls. Just because Bethesda's going the wrong way these days.
Sticking it to Bethesda.
Out on the corners, selling itself for pennies on the dollar. Anyway. Mm.
I'll take the strategy games, XCOM, Civilization, and StarCraft. I think it's about time we kill StarCraft.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone.
I'm okay with that. Mary, probably Civilization. I feel like there's a connection there. There's a lot of... that's a long-term relationship right there. XCOM, I was so hot and cold on that game.
You did,
like,
fuck it.
Yeah, like the first game, the first XCOM, couldn't put it down. Came home from work, played XCOM, time to go to bed. Went back to work the next day, came home, play XCOM, go to bed. Like, that's all I did. Then once I beat it, completely over it. Did not return any of its phone calls. All right, second one came out, played like 5 minutes of it. It was like, no, thank you.
Although, I like what you said during the Clay Entertainment thing where you were like, maybe it's my brain protecting me from those deep addictions.
Yeah.
Because like maybe like your brain just gets over it so mm-hmm. that you won't play 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
The last one, there's chicken, cow, and sheep. It's clear that you fuck them all and slit all their throats so they can't talk about it to anybody.
Right? Okay, that's a little dark.
So fuck and kill on all of those. Can't marry a sheep, man. What are you asking?
All right. Next question from Zap. Which caster would last the full 21 days of Naked and Afraid? I have never seen that show. Going to need an explanation here.
You're on an island.
Okay.
With usually somebody of the opposite sex, I think, as a pair. And you start with like two items.
Hmm.
I think they're items that could fit in your pocket if you had any. And then, you survive 21 days with no food, no outside help at all, just cameras on you. Okay. Obviously, they're not going to let you die, but people fucking get diseases. It's bad, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fake shit, is what I'm saying.
Hmm.
I feel like Ray could survive the whole 21 days without eating. Just
it might be good for him. Nice colon cleanse there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would kill myself. And be like, 21 days just on an island, just doing nothing.
No, you're not doing anything, dude. Your days are filled trying to stay alive. You got no fat on you, dude. You would have to eat daily.
Yeah, I got a high metabolism.
Yeah.
I need a lot of food.
That's all day finding shit to eat.
Yeah.
It'd be like a panda.
I think I'd do great from the, 21 days isn't a long time. I think I'd do great from the psychological side, like that standpoint. But, yeah, I would need a lot of food and a lot of clothing.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, next question from Witty. A question for newer viewers who haven't heard this before. Can we get a brief breakdown of how you got into gaming in general and how you got into PC gaming?
PC gaming. Gaming. So I talked about it a couple of weeks ago where I played the Atari and then I knew that video games were a thing. Then my next door neighbor got the Nintendo. He was a rich kid and everybody at school was talking about Nintendo and how awesome it was. Then finally, like fucking 3 years later, I got mine for my 10th birthday, I feel like, or maybe it felt like 3 years. Maybe it was 1 year after I found out about it. Then played Nintendo all the way through. I went the Nintendo route. You can definitely go the Nintendo or the Sega route, I feel like.
I think we all started at the Nintendo route, and then Sega wasn't until Sega Genesis. So when you had Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, that was you had to make a choice. There was a fork in the road there. And yeah, I went the Super Nintendo route. I had friends who went Sega.
Yeah, I went the Super Nintendo route. Oh, but then also, like, gosh, I don't even know where I was getting my information at the time, but like the cutting edge thing that was it was TurboGrafx-16.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was almost like a mystique thing that,
yeah,
because it was 16 bit when it was first to the table with 16 bit mm-hmm. as opposed to, and the games were like three times the size of a Switch game. It was just like a credit card. And you would just put it in there. I had one. I don't know how I got this. Hmm. I don't know how any of this works. I don't remember. I have a bad memory, but I had one. I had Bonk's Adventure, and I had like The Legend of Ys, I think it was. So I was playing that. Then again, Nintendo route. I went Nintendo 64, GameCube. But somewhere around Nintendo 64 is when I started playing Magic the Gathering, which made me go to a place to play cards, play Magic the Gathering. And they had a corner in the where all, like it was a LAN center. And everybody was playing, Ultima Online, I think it was.
Yeah.
And while I was playing Magic the Gathering over the years, EverQuest came out and Tribes came out. And then that's when I was like, what the fuck? What am I doing over here with these cards? I got to be playing that. Like, what do I need to do to have that at my house? So I called Gateway Computers and I was like, I need a gaming PC. And they're like, sure, sir, $2,700. I was like, sure. You know, and I got my fucking piece of shit. You know, I couldn't even play out of the box, dude. I had to go get a fucking Voodoo 3 from Fry's and install it myself, which I had no idea how to do. There's no online videos at the time. Like, I don't know how I did any of this stuff. Not that it's that hard, but like, you know, I had to figure all that shit out.
Yeah.
And here we are, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Ultima Online was really the kicker, the one that puts you. There's always something that gets people in the
PC. No, it was EverQuest and Tribes.
Oh, EverQuest.
Yeah.
Tribes. Wow, that game. I mean, it's hard for me to really tell when I started with gaming in general because that's always been a part. It's like my earliest memories are probably playing video games. I mean, I was born into the Nintendo generation. My grandfather had an Atari, and I remember playing that. And I knew, like, my friends had Nintendo. Like, Nintendo was a thing to get. So eventually, I got one of those. Super Nintendo. Then I think Sega Saturn. I made the jump to Sega. And it was specifically because I spent a lot of time in the arcades. So I was playing games like Virtua Fighter, Virtua Cop. Mm. I wanted to play those games. Where can I play those games? Oh, you got to have a Sega Saturn.
Smart on their point, on their side, because Nintendo didn't really have a presence in the arcades.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah.
So all the time I spent in the arcade kind of dictated what console I got. And my last console ever was, I got a Dreamcast for a little bit, and then I was kind of over it. Like, I didn't even play it that much. But really, PC gaming for me started in the early 90s. My best friend growing up, his dad worked at like a computer shop, which back in the 90s wasn't like that common. Like, it wasn't like everybody had jobs in tech. So he had like a 386 or a 486 or something. I can't remember. And he had all the games on it. He had Jill of the Jungle, Secret Agent, Wolfenstein 3D, like all those old classic games, Commander Keen. And we would just stay up to the late hour, Tank Wars, playing the hell out of those games, just nonstop playing those games, totally hooked on it. This is on like Windows 3.1. And,
you know what's interesting about that, dude, is like, had he been coming to your house and you'd be playing Dreamcast games with him, as opposed to you going over there, because part of the fun was the co-op, probably, a good part of it.
I mean, a lot of those games didn't have co-op.
You were taking turns, right? But I'm talking about like having that extra point of having, or what was it about the PC? Who knows? You were a kid, right?
I don't know. Something about the PC was just like, you can't get this anywhere else. There was something very exclusive about it that was very attractive to me. And I mean, I kind of played both PC and console through the 90s up until I think it was probably in high school where I just stopped playing consoles and like fully committed to PC. And I was probably around the Jedi Knight times where My parents' computer could run that game, not like super well, but it could run that game. And then I got into all the things that are PC gaming, modding, creating skins, creating levels. Like, I did all that for Jedi Knight. And that's when I really fell in love with just like the computer, like PC gaming. And I still can't really fathom why people, but playing console games just feels like such a, it seems like short-sighted in a way to me. It's like, why would you stop there? Don't you want the full experience? You know,
and not just that, but like a PC, it needs its own separate area. And some people don't have a separate area for a PC. I guess most people do. You just need a corner, right? Yeah. But yeah, it's a whole other thing. It's another monitor. It's another tower. And the console kind of just fits into what already exists there. You can play it on your dad's TV because you can't afford your own TV. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there is that.
But I understand, like, nowadays consoles are just easy. I think it's easier.
Yeah. And for sure, it's easier.
Yeah. And God, I'm really stepping all over this fantastic interview I did with Carlos, but he said such an interesting thing. Like, for him, the PC is work. So when he plays, he wants to be on a console because it's like, it's a separation of the two. It's like, I go to the gym, I work out. I can't work out at home. You know, right. It's like that change of location or that change of
venue, really.
Yeah.
What it is.
So.
Damn.
Yep. That's the history, dude.
333 episodes, guys. This was 333 from what I saw. Fucking hell. That's a lot of goddamn episodes.
Yep. So our third, and we started doing YouTube at 300 or 299. So, yeah, man, they've been flying by.
Yeah. And we didn't start podcasting about PC gaming, but I think we planted a seed. Planted a seed like Insidious. No, I'm not going to go into it. That was a stretch.
I keep forgetting that you have Deep Sky Derelicts on your account.
Me too.
So I want to check that out this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if something else comes. I want to check out They Are Billions too. There's a lot of stuff I want to get into this
week. Dude, it's fun. Oh, don't lose or fuck up at all, ever.
You have to restart.
You can't. You get punished.
But you have to go, you can restart like all the way back at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you can restart your campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. It's so hard. But then again, I told you I'm the worst. Mm-hmm. So,
well, if Conan Unconquered goes on sale, it's down to $20. But if, you know, if you're into strategy games, like, somebody else pick that up, because I would love to play co-op. And when you go and play that game co-op right now with strangers, like, they're very good at the game and get very upset at you. But I really want to play that game. It's like They Are Billions, but maybe not quite as good, but it does have co-op. Yeah. So
it's Wave Survival, right? Mm-hmm. RTS.
It's RTS Wave Survival. Yeah, you build up your base, you defend, they constantly send the waves in.
Oh, it's so scary when the an alarm goes off, because everything's pretty quiet. It's just like moaning and a little like chirping for hours. Like an hour could go by.
Yeah.
And then an alarm goes off. It's like dozens are approaching from the east. And you're like, fuck. But I know later it's going to be hundreds and thousands and millions. And then I guess they are billions. Anyway.
All right. So what are you playing next week?
Shit, man. So we just moved to 4 10-hour days as opposed to... Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we're supposed to have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, but they called me in for Saturday this week. So hopefully that opens up some more time for me. During the week, it's going to shut down more time, but, you know, I'll have a whole extra day to game. So that's good. What I'll be playing, I'm not sure. I don't have anything. I want to finish Doom.
Yeah. God, I should do that too, but
yeah,
I totally ran out of steam on that one.
Yeah. JP says it keeps getting better and better as he plays it. Hmm. He thought I was going to level off, and he's enjoying it more and more.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's an episode.
Yep. You didn't say what you're going to be playing, or did you?
Yeah, I said, I'm not sure, but I'm looking at They Are Billions and also Deep Sky Derelicts.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all the support. You know, somebody talked about it while we were in the episode, just like, thank you for doing this while this all this bullshit's going on, you know, because it's a little bit more something else to do during your time at home. But it's like, it's giving us something to do, too, you know. It's fucking... It's more special that you guys are listening than we're here talking. That's for damn sure. All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself. Oh, and Rusty. And did anybody else call in?
Oh, and Mila. Yeah, we got Jeff Sunday subscribing for 12 months and also Red Rum donating 2,000 bits.
Thanks, homies. Bitty titties. Bye. I used to yell at motherfucking titties, remember?
Yeah.
For like 100 episodes. Motherfucking titties. Nope, none of that anymore. Mold. I don't got energy for that shit.